Hey, this episode is brought to you by our friends over at TrueClassicTees.com. TrueClassicTees.com, using the promo code OTSGolf, you can get 25% off plus free shipping. Shop the outerwear collection for fall golf, pullovers and zip-ups. Great for wherever you're playing right now. TrueClassicTees.com, 25% off plus free shipping using the promo code OTSGolf. Enjoy the episode.
Three shots, four par, I just do two. One putt, par four, birdie, woohoo. New driver, info, replace, M2. Par five, fairway, what you fin do? Think I'll try to get on into. Start right, good line, good view. Andrew, shoot a McGavin, two thumbs, that's up high.
Episode 104, we got Ty Salone. We got that right, Ty?
Yeah, that's good.
Right on. So yeah, we got Bricer here, Ty Salone, Canadian pro. Played a little bit recently on East Coast Pro Tour, EMU grad, so... You would be, well, we were just kind of talking about a third or fourth EMU guy. Apparently it's a, I don't know, they must have a scout in the area or something up here in Ontario, yeah, picking me up a lot of you guys. It's Bryce, eh? Bringing them down to Michigan. But yeah, Ty, how are you doing, man? Anybody who doesn't know you, can I tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I'm good. I just finished up school in May at Eastern, took the COVID year, so did 5 years there. And just first summer as a pro, was playing East Coast Tour, some Toronto Players Tour events. And I just got bounced from second stage of Korn Ferry. So my year is kind of on pause right now. I'm going to take November off, first time off in a good 5 years. So I'll enjoy that and then get back at it in the spring, maybe do some Canadian Tour. I got to think about that, but got some time, so.
Yeah, last week we had Zach on. He was kind of saying the same thing. He's just like, he's down in Florida now. Zach Bimnitz, he's a good buddy with Bricer. And he was saying he's just kind of firing every tournament that he can get into right now. And, you know, then kind of sort out what you're going to do for the following season. So I guess we can kind of take it back to school even a little bit. So Eastern Michigan guy. So we've had Jake McNulty on. Michael Blair on, and I think we mentioned one other one, but how was that? Like, how was it going to school down there? I guess that's not too far from where Bryce is right now.
It's only like 9 hours on a good day for me, so it wasn't too bad getting there. But I mean, I went in with Cougar Collins, Zach Mason. I knew them forever, and Nick Ross was there for, I had him for a year. He's a good Hamilton boy. It was just, we had a time there. It was a whole team of Canucks. We had four Canadians in the starting lineup by the end of the fifth year. So all knew each other well. We lived together for 5 years and we're all competitive. We just struggled to play well all together. We got a couple wins and, like, we co-won a conference champ in 2019, but I don't think we kind of went up to our potential. We had too good of a team to be getting the results that we were getting, but we did have a hell of a time doing it.
Yeah, that's fun. I've seen Cougar play a little bit and watched him on the range a bit, and I was playing, like, some little fun cash game that he was in one time. I didn't really know him at the time, or I'd met him afterwards when I was playing with, I was caddying for Jake at the Osprey Valley Open. I think it was in 2020 and he was on the range. So that's how those guys connected. Obviously both being EMU grads. I think Jake's a couple years older than you, but you guys were all around the same age.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're all the guys that I went in with. We went in with, there were six freshmen that year and we lived together all five, so we got to know each other pretty well. And I knew Coug when I was like, we were playing junior tournaments together when we were like 13 or something. So there was one season we played every junior tournament together. Like the Ontario one, the Juvenile, the Spring Classic, every single one we got paired up together. It was crazy.
I had to make it a lot easier, right? Kind of going in with guys you're kind of comfortable around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's.
This is episode 103, by the way. I was wrong. I just looked it up. It's 103, not 104.
That's all
just
right.
Just to put that in there.
We'll restart altogether. No, we don't edit enough around here, but we'll stick with 104. But you guys are MAC, right? Is that Mid-Atlantic?
No, Mid-American.
Mid-American, okay. So I don't know. Bryce and I have been rifling off quite a few like NCAA pods lately. We had Vim on last week, was at Moorhead.
Andy Walker.
Parker Haynes. So Andy Walker is the head coach at VCU. So we've been kind of getting a bit more of an idea of college golf. And so you guys had like six guys typically in your rotation. Is that about it on your team?
Going to a tournament, it was mainly just five. We didn't get a lot of individuals because we did have a really good schedule. Like, we're playing a lot of Big Ten tournaments and stuff. And like, they're not going to give Eastern Michigan a individual spot when you got teams like Ohio State there and stuff. They're
right.
Give them priority. But we had a pretty concrete lineup, I'd say, for most of the years, like three of us, four of us. And there'd be one guy kind of rotating in and out.
Yeah.
It was competitive. Like, I missed the first tournament at school in qualifying. I went and shot. It wasn't very good. It was on our home course, probably around even par or something, which is me going in when I was 17. I was like, I'll take that. It's pretty good. Not even close. Like, seven man, eight man. And then missed the first one, missed a couple in the first year. And it's just our qualifying got so competitive. Like, we're all best buddies, but when you go out there, it's like you're playing against a guy you live with sometimes for the four and the five spot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, then you got to drive home with him. It's a little weird. So get into the house. There were like, there was only five suitcases one time, and we had six guys in the house. And so the one guy who wasn't traveling just had to take his stuff out and walk the suitcase to the other guy's room. Yeah, I got a little
walk
weird.
Of shame.
But it was.
It's good though. We talk about this with a lot of our college guys. Like, you get that friendly, competitive nature in practice and around the squad, and it just makes everyone better. Like, in my opinion, I mean, you have to battle and you have to like be there every day, ready to work. So, in my opinion, I mean, I lived through hockey. Like, there's so much friendly competition, and you just have to be good every day. And I feel like it makes you so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, outside of tournaments now, I mean, tomorrow I'm going up to playing in Camelot in Ottawa. We got to play a huge money game there just to kind of keep the juices flowing, even though there's no real tournaments going on.
Yeah. Like, I was just telling Bryce before, like, I was, shout out to JR Hurley. We met up, guy through the pod. We met up in Toronto. He's from out west. Went and watched a Leaf game the other day. I was talking to you during a tire when we were sitting there, and I was way too deep. I had at least, I don't know, seven or eight different lines on one game. So it was good. And it was like a 3-2 game against Ottawa, which was pretty odd. But the money line, it was okay. Like, obviously, it wasn't pretty good, any good for Toronto. But it worked out. We came up even. But JR was in town. We went and checked out a game. And then I ended up like befriending a guy, Nick. So if he's listening to the pod, he was sitting beside us, and he picked up some merch. So thank you, Nick. That was pretty cool.
Right.
And it was cool, man. We were just kind of talking golf the whole time. Guy's wife was with him. I think Steph. So sorry, Steph. We were just sitting there talking golf.
She probably hated you.
Well, they're like at a game, like they're in town for their honeymoon or their 10-year anniversary, I think it was. And we were just talking golf the whole time, but it was a lot of fun. But I was on about an hour sleep, had a little money game in the morning. And I think I had to roll in like a 6-footer I told Bryce to break even on 18. So it was tough. I was a little not very rested. So maybe get some sleep before it if you can. I don't know. That might work out a bit better for you.
That'll lamp you up for a good hour though.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I had another buddy when I posted today, Anthony Spagnoli. Do you know Anthony?
Yeah.
So he said, Ty's a good guy. And he was mentioning when you guys played, I think you and Cougar played Team Ontario a little while.
Yep. No, Coug didn't do Team Ontario. He was on the national team.
Okay.
He was on team. I mean, I was with like Jake Bryson, Sam Meek. Oh, God. It was pretty much the same squad. Jackson Bowery. Just guy, all Ontario boys.
Yeah.
Obviously Team Ontario.
So what's that format like? Is it pretty similar to school or when you guys are playing for like provincial tournaments, what are those like for you?
It was mainly just training camps. So we'd have one like January, February, March, I think April. Yeah, I could get a couple of things wrong because this was like 7 years ago now. It was a while ago. But it would all, you'd just be gearing up for the Can-Am matches where we'd play against Team South Carolina at Wachusett Plantation in, I think it's like South Myrtle Beach. But the track is sick. And when we played against them, their team had Jake Bridgman and Trent Phillips. So they were pretty stacked. And you know Peyton Collins?
Yep. Yeah, I recognize that name. I think he's on PGA Tour Canada right now.
I think he's got one more year in Nevada. He's playing in school still.
I recognize that name.
He probably played some of them though. I think he actually did.
Yeah.
He's a stick. He's a good player. But we were partners for that. And we are, I don't know, probably 15 or 16 years old. And in the better ball, we went 12 deep, I think.
Ooh, that's a good day.
But yeah, we lost one down to Trent Phillips and Jake Bridgman. And you see those guys now compared to us. It's like, I'm the worst one out of those four based on rankings, like for sure. Mm-hmm. In college, I think I peaked at like maybe 220 or 230. I think Peyton's gotten inside the top 100 or might be right now. Trent Phillips was like ranked 2 or 3. Wow. And I think Jake Bridgman was top 5 for a while now too. I'm pretty sure he's playing on Corn Ferry right now. And Trent just made it to final stage. Like, I don't know, where like you're playing against those guys when you're 15, 16, you're like, damn, these guys are just really good. And then you keep seeing their name forever and you're like, yeah, you guys are a lot better than we thought.
Yeah.
Like, they just absolutely just waxed us.
Do you play any other sports at all, or is golf kind of it? Or did you, I guess I should say?
Yeah, just golf now. I played a lot of like pretty high level soccer actually.
Okay.
And played some football. Can't really skate. I'll put that out there right now. But never played hockey. I wish. I watch it a lot.
That's Bryce's bread and butter. Still living the dream, playing D division now, scoring 7-8 goals a game.
I'm in a different league, all right. I'm not terrorizing the D league anymore.
Yeah, Bryce is I don't know, we connected a couple weeks ago with the developmental goalie coach, St. Louis Blues, his name's Stewie. Dan Stewart. And Bryce was his shooter when Bryce was playing in Sault Ste. Marie. So
yeah.
It was kind of cool to sort of connect, and we talk a little bit of hockey, a couple other sports and whatnot. So I guess we're missing the Monday nighters, probably starting right now as we record this on Monday night. I think Monday nighters on right now.
I got the Leaf game on right now.
Oh, do you? So yeah, we're this will be out on Friday. People will be like, "What are you talking about?" But it's Denver LA tonight. So
nobody wants to watch that.
No, it's tough, man.
LA's you're talking about football.
Yeah.
I'm a hockey guy. I don't care about football.
The Coyotes are up. And sorry, I might have a couple of buddies who are like diehard Leafs fans. I've mentioned this before. Listen to the pod, and I think I took Coyotes plus 540 today for just a straight money line. I looked at it, I was like, how do you not throw a bet on that? Like, how do you not throw a little something on that? So, because what's his name? Shalgren's probably in, or somebody's probably in.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so.
I'm an embarrassment to the Americans, man. The fact that I watch hockey over football makes people cringe down here.
Oh, that's I got to try and find it. I got to try and find it, Bryce. You take over for a second. I need to find out how bad that money line was against Arizona.
But, I don't know how it could have been that bad. I don't think Arizona's that bad, but.
Well, I don't think there's much sports, like in professional sports, I don't think there's many sports that has more parity than the NHL. But right now, they're in tough shape right now. Wanted to ask you though, so Ty, you have been involved in like one of the best matches in match play history, right? Like that you might not want to think it, but like when I was like kind of reading through it, and it was with Mark Casullo, who I've talked to quite a bit, Anthony Spagnoli, again, friend of the pod, a good friend of mine, also knows Mark, plays with Mark a little bit. So can you tell us a little bit about that match? Cause that was, I guess, your second pro win.
That was the first one.
Oh, was it? Play. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, I was waiting. Like, I was texting Massimo Roche, like the one guy who runs the tour. And I was texting him and Luca, like, when are you guys going to release this video? Because I don't really remember anything. Like, I've never been in a zone that hard. It was like the shots were good, but it's just I've never putted that well. Like, I was just like 30 footers were just dropping, and one of them even rolled backwards. Like you can't do anything about that. Like my dad and I look at each other and we're like, you're kidding me. Like it rolled an inch past the hole and came back.
Just a magnet in the bottom of the cup.
Yeah. We were burying on top of each other. I mean, we both parred, I think we parred one and two, and then a couple 25 footers on three. I think I halved with a 10 footer on five, and then it's like 30 footer, then made an eagle on his birdie, 10 footer to have, 50 footer to have. Like it was crazy.
So you were, I think you shot, what did you shoot, 61 or something?
We ended on 15, but I think I was 9 through 12.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, yeah.
I blasted one out of bounds on 13, par 5, but made a bogey on it. Lost the hole, but made a bogey on it. But then went par, and we were done. So, I mean, there was a par. 18 was a five, then 16 was pretty short. But, nah, I don't know. I mean, I've never had a putter that hot since. The putter's been really good. I switched to... If Zach Mason listened to this, and his spider has saved my season. I switched from the ping to that thing.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit last night. Like I'm yeah, religiously stuck with the putter. Bryce will, like he, yeah.
Not Bryce, talk about it? Yeah, Bryce yeah. won't.
Bryce goes back and forth with different putters and struggles with a little bit.
I got
bit.
Six of them, and they all putt just as bad as the other one, so...
So
maybe the Scotty I have on the way might help, but probably not.
Yeah, you're gonna get it in like 2025. So you're 9 down through 12, right? Like, so yeah. Were you starting to think at that? Like, obviously you're not gonna play it out. Like, but have you shot that low before?
I've had, I think 63, like 8 under has been my low. I've never finished that. I've had 63, probably like. Maybe 5, 6, 7 times, but right. Never lower than that. But like some of them are like they're on my home course, club champs from a tee up and stuff. But that's probably one of the first, that's definitely the lowest one in like competition. If it was a stroke play and I was able to finish it, I had a couple good like 7, 6 unders this summer when it mattered, like on the second day of a tournament or in first stage, I shot 6 under in the last round to make it on the number. Like those rounds to me feel better than going to my home course and shooting 8 or something.
Yeah. Like
even shooting like 4 under when it matters versus bogey free.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like I would, like even at my home course a little while ago, not like before I was playing at Port Hope, I'd go out and like, you know, sometimes I'd just go out for a quick 9. I'd be like 1 or 2 under, which is, you know, that's a great score for me right now. But like you can hit the ball wherever you want, you know, where it's going to land, you know, where you got to hit it. Like eventually it's just like, I don't know. It takes a lot out of the game, right? Like, so it's not quite as fun. And so when you go out to like a new course, like you were saying, I know I had it written down, Forest. I can't remember. Forest or something. Yeah. So playing 7,800 yards. But, you know, when we were talking to Zach last week or a couple of weeks ago, he was saying the same type of thing is like par's no good anymore. Right. Especially in those events. And I know what you're saying that time when we were talking, like those guys are, you know, somebody's going to go 7, 8, 9 deep and you're going to have to like try to compete with that or try and knock that off. Right. So. All right, we made it through 9, and this glizzy is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped, manscaped.com. You can go over, check out the Ultra Premium Collection, or anything that you need to not suffer through the back 9 here. Using the promo code OTSGolf, you will get 20% off plus free shipping. Maybe you'll go low on the back. Thank you for supporting the episode. Thank you for supporting the pod. Manscaped.com, 20% off using the promo code OTSGolf. Free shipping right to your door. Enjoy the pod. It's a good time to introduce a question here. We've got a friend of the pod, our club champion, actually at Port Hope. So I know he'll like me saying that, Dan Clancy. So really good dude. Do you put, this is just an Instagram question. So thanks for anybody who entered one. We just want to grab one. Or if anybody left a question, we just want to grab a quick one. Do you put any work into your game during before or during before after a round? So when I retyped this left out mental game. Do you put anything into like your mental game during or before a round that you know you might be able to pass off some tips to the guys like Bryce and I who could use them?
Do you mean like during like right before a competition round?
Yeah, I think so. Like prepared? when you're kind of prepping and you're like thinking like mentally, like how do you prep for that round? Or if something's kind of not going well during a round and you got to kind of pivot, make an adjustment, maybe a bit of a two-part question.
So I do I like to play at least two practice rounds for like big 4-day events, like just 9 on the first day, 9 on the second day. And that's where I get all my like strategical and like coursework done. Mm-hmm. Like it's just mapping out a game plan. And when I'm prepping for a round, like I don't care. I've had some of the worst range sessions of my life before like huge tournaments and big rounds. And like, I'm just there to get loose. And right. No matter how the day is going, like whatsoever, I just stick to what I wrote in my Straka book, just stick to what I wrote. I know that's the right way to go about things. I mean, obviously if I step up there and I'm hitting 50-yard cuts, like you gotta play it. Mm-hmm. Don't try and fight it. Even if you hit a 10-yard draw, you get out there and you're hitting 20-yard fade, like you gotta play with what's going on that day. But I mean, game plan wise, even if I'm hitting it sideways, it's like my mind, I'm fully committed to just doing what I wrote down. I know that's the right thing to do. And strength is on the green. So if I can just get the ball on the green, I know the day is going to be decent.
So that's kind of one of the things that I've thought of too. And like, you know, Bryson and I being, you know, we're both decent golfers, but everything looks a little bit different on each day, right? So like I don't go out typically and like
a little bit.
Saturday can look a lot different than Sunday, right? So that's one of those things where I've really tried to like, if I am recently, like I've been a draw hitter my whole life. Bryson, was I hitting a fade when we played, I think?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. So like I introduced this fade, which feels great. I'd love to be able to have a little fade or a little cut, right? So but I don't typically play that. I'm like a 5-10 yard draw for the most part. So trying to like get in, you know, trust that. And then I'm a lefty too, so I get a little bit weird on the course, like most of us do. Like we do weird shit. Like, same. And yeah, are you a lefty?
Yeah.
Right on, man. Right on. I did not know that. Yeah. So the touch around the greens, this is clearly like a pattern. We've been talking about this with like, it seems like it's more or less like a righty or lefty versus righty thing. So Bryce just smashes it, carries it 330 off the tee. And then we clean up around the greens. But, I think that's something that I've tried to like introduce to my game, even just off the tee for the most part, just kind of play what's there, not try to like change that when that's going through the round. I think it helps. I think it definitely helps a little bit. But the difference between you and I, or Bryce and I and you, Ty, is like, you're able to kind of like grind it out through the round and like, you know, do what you know is right. We're just going to try and introuse new things that we've never tried before.
Yeah. I'm just guessing right? Check every hole really.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I'm like, I can hit that shot. There's a window there, and it's, like, definitely not there. But, yeah, that's it's kind of a cool question. We always like to ask the mental aspect of it because, like, you being a former NCAA player, we've talked to 20 or 30 NCAA athletes now, and it's always we've had people, like, there's so much variance. So we've had guys or girls talk about how it feels like it's a one-man sport and like you're just kind of like, you know, kind of solo. You're out there for your team, you know, but you're playing for yourself. And then we've had other people in like, you know, Parker were saying, and you said like the guys are so tight, right? You're still battling the guys, but you're trying to like build them up as you can. And Andy Walker, same thing. It was kind of good getting like his viewpoint of being a coach of I think they're around like a top 50 team now in the country. And, you know, trying to preach the players that it's team first, right? That's got to be something that's very difficult. And I think that that would, you know, play into the mental game a little bit different when you're at school versus, you know, now you're trying to make a living playing the game, right? So, schedule wise. So we're going to take a break in a couple minutes here, introduce a new sponsor, BetStamp. But your schedule, you got anything that you're looking into after November for the new year?
Well, my parents have a condo in Myrtle Beach. So now that I don't have like Korn Ferry is completely done, I will probably be going down there January. I got to think about December still. Like, I don't know what I want to do for, but January, February for sure, March. But a lot of my buddies like Coog and Zach Mason, I mean, they got places down in Florida. So they're going to be grinding some mini tours out there. I can go bunk at their place for a couple weeks, play some tournaments with them. it'll be just playing by ear. But for most of November, I mean, I'm going to be taking it easy. I haven't taken an extended break away from practicing or the sticks in general in a long time. So just enjoy some other hobbies for a couple weeks and then get back into it.
I like it. Good little timer. We're just going to take a quick break. Introduce a sponsor from BetStamp. Somebody that Bryce and I started working with, a little bit of sports betting, which everybody's really into right now. So especially getting some of those golf lines. And then we'll be back. We want to talk a little bit about, kind of what it was like when you turn pro, what's in the bag. We got, Bryce is a big, big bag guy, and he loves talking gear. So I told him that you got a little bit of a unicorn in there. I didn't tell him what yet. So,
yeah,
but, yeah. And then we'll kind of wrap things, grab some socials and stuff like that. But, we'll be right back. All right. Week one, bogey bets with our friends over at BetStamp, the ultimate place to just do, some cool line shopping. If you want to, make some weekend golf picks. Anybody who doesn't know, line shopping is taking multiple different sports books and just comparing them to the other one, the others, and giving you the best return on your investment. So Bryce and I have kind of combed through using the BetStamp app. Makes it very easy for you to just compare one book to the next and pick the lowest possible price to get the best return on your investment. This week, I'm going to start it off, Bryce. I'm going to go with the three-peat JT. Looking through, I found it at BetMGM for plus 1,700. That's pretty good odds for JT to go three-peat in the CJ Cup. Bet 365 and Score Golf had it at both plus 1,400. So we're making 300 points on that. Why not? Good pick. You taking anybody outright?
I did. I took Rory. BetMGM had him at plus 700, and then WinBet had him at plus 600. So pretty big jump there. Caesars was at 650, so kind of right in the middle. But obviously, taking the best line there at plus 700. The way BetStamp kind of works too is that you'll type in your bet, whatever you want to bet that night and or that weekend, and it'll give you right there the best sports book that you're signed up for with the best odds, so that you don't have to go searching through every single sports book. It'll be right there for you.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting one too. I want to go Ricky Fowler top five. So we remember like the resurgence of Ricky Fowler last year was at the CJ Cup. I found him at DK for plus 1,200, which was great for a top five. Bet 365 also at 1,200. And Bet MGM was down at 850. So they think that Ricky is going to be playing well. So pretty big discrepancy there. So yeah, kind of what we're talking about with being able to use BetStamp, it'll kind of compare them all. I wanted to take Ricky Fowler. I don't typically pick Ricky Fowler, but I thought for a top five coming off, he had a T2 last weekend, and he was, I think he was second out right here last year too. So I wanted to pick that one.
Yeah. I got a top five with Max Homa, been really hot lately, playing well. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna have a big year. I think I'm going to be, he might be my new Victor Hovland this year. So, as you guys all know, we used to do the pick-ems. This is kind of the same thing, just, with our partners at BetStamp. So we're kind of reworking things this year. So, BetMGM had him at plus 400, and so did WinBet. And Caesars didn't have a top five option for some reason, but I took the plus 400 because it's pretty good odds, and Max is going to have a good year this year. So,
yeah, I took number nine player in the world, kind of falling back to Colin Morikawa, but last year was top five here as well. He was second last year at the CJ Cup, so played well. Always does, kind of always in the mix, but he's kind of fallen off the radar, not off the radar, but he's kind of fallen back a little bit. Found him at Bet MGM for plus 650 for a top five for Colin Morikawa. I think that's pretty clean. DraftKings had him down at plus 550. So not too much discrepancy here, but again, just, we can kind of see the difference between the different books, and, I went ahead and took Bet MGM at plus 650, ultimate value I could get.
Yeah, I went for a top 10 as my third pick. Cameron Young, top 10. BetMGM had him at plus 200. WinBet had him at plus 250. So making a couple extra bucks there using BetStamp and getting the better line on WinBet.
Man, so there are some players in this field too. So hopefully it's getting people excited. It kind of feels like, the golf season is kind of like kicking off again. I know we'll get a little break over the holidays, but thanks everybody listening to the pod. We're going to get back into it with Ty Saloni here. A really good episode. So we can kind of wrap it up with him. If you're interested and joining us at BetStamp, getting the best possible line, shopping a few different books. If you already got them, we can get you set up through. Just let us know and we'll send you over a referral link and we'll get you set up for it. It's, you know, they'll kick you back a little something for getting set up. But yeah, let's jump back into it with our episode with Ty Zaloni. All right, we're back. Ty, you were saying that you had a little something to add to the question we got from Dan. Just a little bit about the mental game.
Yeah. Big thing too. It's like playing with what you got, but like you hear everybody say that you got to spend time on the short game and stuff, but you never really hear why. And I was the same way. Like I'd be a short game and stuff, but I mean like what's a good short game if I'm missing 10 greens, but it is it's the mental side of it to where I'm at the point now where it's like, I'm going to be around a certain score and my good rounds are when the putts are dropping. Poor rounds are like my last round of Q school where just it's golf and just nothing goes right. Like nothing. I was putting good swings on it. Didn't end up good. Bad swings that were just awful. But most days, like you step up there, no matter how bad my range session is, I'm on the putting green. I can't get the speeds right or something. When you get on the course, if you have a good short game, it takes so much stress just off your tee shots, especially your iron play. I find like you're not as tense going at a tuck pin. Like you're taking a conservative target, making an aggressive swing and stuff, but you're not sitting there with a pitching wedge in hand worrying about short siding yourself. If you got a good short game in your back pocket, it just takes so much more stress off the rest of your game. Cause it's like, all right, if I blast this tee shot in the trees, I can chip out to 50 yards and I got a good chance of getting up and down. You're not sitting there with a wedge in hand, writing out a five on the card.
Right.
Do you use any decade or any strategies like those, or you kind of all feel?
Mostly all. Yeah. I'd say just all feel. Like I know what decade's about and stuff, but like our coach at school, Coach Cunningham, like we all didn't like it first year because like we're coming out of junior golf and you want to hit wedges at pins and nine iron in hand, you should be hitting a nine iron at the stick, but just learning to play off the stick in school, because those sticks are cut on some ugly spots. And when you're playing Pete Dye courses, if you're short sided, like you can just write a bogey down on the card right away, unless you make a 30 footer. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of just, yeah, that's it's hitting an aggressive shot still, an aggressive swing at a smart target. That's about it. If the pin's cut three off the left, like you should be, I mean, no matter what club you have in your hand, you got a pitching wedge in hand. So you should be aiming four to the right. And decade will give you around the same number, but it's kind of just, it's just putting numbers behind common sense, kind of, if you know what I mean.
Bryce, this sounds like me at, Ty, this sounds like 15 at Port Hope. I like ripped one down the right hand side. thanks to Bryce and oh man, his name's escaping me right now. Damn it.
Who, Coiner?
Coiner, thank you. But we're playing Banker. I'm sure you play a little bit of Banker yourself, Ty. And these guys won't help me look for my ball and I'm in the cart by myself. So the golf gods looked out for me and I took a drop from, I don't know, 130 out, and what I hit it to, I didn't even get up to the green and they had already given it to me. So thanks, guys.
He landed it probably, he landed it front edge. The pin was probably five paces off the front, 12 off the right. He landed it front right and it had a massive slope and rolled to literally 3 inches.
Yeah.
And I just driver swung my putter and hit his ball all the way back to him.
Yeah, so I think that one was worth, like, we had Bryce had won the first seven holes and we were on an 8-hole layover at that point. So yeah, that was cool. That was sweet. So I didn't even need to go up to the green. So but that's kind of like when you're talking about that time, thinking like about my game really off the tee, like some days it can be nails. It can look good. It can feel good. I still hit the ball a long way. Like when I play with Bryce, I don't, but like in most of my groups, I hit the ball a long way. But you know, like when things are going bad, I get a little bit of a pull, like I'm pulling it to the right hand side. But you know, typically I roll it pretty well. Wedges are pretty good. And I do think that there is a lot to that. Like I used to focus a lot when I was a junior on my short game and it definitely saved me quite a bit. And I think, you know, if people are wanting to get better, especially you know, maybe at our level, like if you're kind of entering like a single digit handicap or mid single or something, I think focusing on your short game is where, like, if I start draining a few putts, that's where I'm going to see, like, you know, a 73, 74 versus like an 80 or something. Right. So like some things have to happen in that round to make it go low. Right. Or to make ourselves go low. Like at our level, you find like,
if I putt that day, like I did on 1, 2, 3, 4, I would have shot 62.
Yeah. It would have, he would have beat Port Hope up pretty good.
Then I just went downhill.
It's not a long course. I don't know if you've ever played it, Ty. Like, I know you're,
I've heard a lot about it though.
Yeah, like, it's like right on the water. It's pretty
tough.
Cool.
It's pretty tough. Cool.
Yeah. Probably gets pretty windy there too, huh?
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It does, yeah. If you're ever coming through, let me know. Like, it's just, you kind of know where it is. It's a couple, I guess it'd be a couple hours or about an hour and a half west of where you are, maybe. Yeah, if you're ever coming through, let me know and we'll tee it up. But it's a pretty cool course. I like it. It's a lot of fun to play. It's like every round is different, which is pretty awesome. Wanted to ask you, because this is something that Bryce and I just kind of, funny enough, I don't know, we've probably had like half of the episodes have been pro golfers, and we just finally clued in or thought about asking how the process of turning pro was. And then we realized it's just kind of like you register into a tournament and you don't become a pro until you start making money. Right. So, you got a couple of wins now, that match play one being your first. So when you're kind of leaving school, what's the thought? Like, did you know you're going to go pro right away? Like, you know, okay, I'm going to turn pro. I'm going to try and like make a career of this. Was that your thoughts, or were you thinking like, you know, maybe just kind of like coast into it or try something a little different?
No, I wanted to give it the best run possible for a long time. Like that was always going to be the goal right out of school. I was debating a little bit, like kind of staying AM, because I've never played in the USAM. That's the only reason I would kind of stay AM for one more year to give it a run.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm just thinking about it for the last semester, and it's like, do I really want to wait? Like, the qualifiers are mid-summer or something. I think the tournament's closer to the end of the summer. Like, I'd be sitting there waiting 4 months and just playing a couple tournaments here and there just to try and qualify for one. So I said no, turned pro, love playing the mini tours. Like, it's fun. Like, I enjoy playing them. Obviously want to get further than that. Never, most guys do, but they are a lot of fun. And you actually make some pretty good coin, because the expenses aren't very high. That's the thing. Like, the money's so much higher. The purses are so much higher on the Canadian tour, except your expenses for the year, like 25. Yeah,
you're going all over the province.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember talking to a few of the guys. Like, we had Callum on, Callum Davison, Lucas Noni, like a few of those guys, Ziggy, Michael Blair. Like, in one of the, like, we always end up talking about travel, and that's it, right? Like, so Lucas and Callum had a pretty cool travel schedule. Like, Ziggy was pretty standard. Like, he'd drive a couple with his partner, Trevor Yu. I've carried for Ziggy a couple times and met Trevor, which was pretty cool. So they travel quite a bit together. You know, they do like the car, planes, whatever it is, but both Lucas and Callum, they drove it, which was pretty cool. So I've met Rosie, which is Lucas's van. So him and his wife, or his girlfriend, fiance, whatever it may be, they like kind of converted a I think they got a Dodge, like a Sprinter platform, and they converted it into their home, right? And they travel. It was kind of on the basis of going to PGA Tour Canada, and they took it down to Florida for some events, and I don't know if they did Q school or just a minor league tour. And then they came up, and he said it was like 50,000 kilometers or 55,000 kilometers or something over the course of the year. So definitely would have kept costs down, I think, if that's your home. But like, gas and stuff is not cheap either, right? But
no, it's not. But even flights out west, like Toronto to BC, like, you're scaring a grand sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, depending where you're going. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, but it's funny, because when we had Vim on the other day, he's like, yeah, I'm just in central area of Florida, and I booked every single tournament because they're all here, and I just drive to the course and go play.
Yeah,
because they're all the mini tour events, right? So,
well, yeah, that's kind of like what Callum said too. Like, he plays down at the Palms, and he's down there, and like, they're all sort of in that area. It's like the mecca of, you know, minor league golf, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, the minor league golf tour or whatever it is, is down there, and that's kind of what everybody's trying, you know, playing while they're not playing qualifiers and stuff, right? So, you know, I imagine that you'll find your way down there at some time, Ty, and then everybody can kind of hop in a van and play those tournaments and stuff together. But it's always cool to like find the travel and stuff. But I guess you played a little bit of East Coast Pro Tour, right?
Yeah, that's most of the tournaments were Quebec. I'm only 10 minutes from Quebec, so
yeah. So that would have been too bad.
Oh, no, not at all. The furthest one that way was St. George's, and it was 4 hours or something, maybe 3.5.
Right.
But I think I was able to stay at home for some of them. They're so close, which, I mean, your costs are literally nothing. It's $50 for gas.
Yeah.
But even the ones in Toronto, like Coogs up there in Caledon near TPC, Zach Mace is downtown, Nick Ross is in Hamilton. Like, you kind of got that whole area charted out. Cam Callaghan, a guy who was on my school team as well, he's out in London. Like, you kind of got places everywhere that you can bunk if you need to.
Yeah,
but nice. once you get doing Tour Canada, like, even you're doing Latino or something like that, like, your Airbnbs, hotels, you're hoping that guys you know want to stay with you. Like, I've never played it, but I mean, obviously you hear about it, and I know a lot of guys who have played it. Like, your expenses are way up there.
Well, yeah, when I was with, I was at Nobleton Lakes on the Monday queue with Ziggy, like, I was carrying for him, and Trevor was there as well, so we just stopped and had a beer or some lunch or whatever after, and that's one of the things they were saying is, like, it can be a pretty big deterrent for guys too, right? Like, you have to, they're both very committed athletes to, you know, getting to that next level, and there's probably so many good golfers that can't, just because the financial, you know, obligations that come with trying to get to that level, right?
It's tough to find, like, for a tour like that, and like all those like development tours, even Corn Ferry, like, you gotta have good sponsors. Like, I don't have a sponsor yet. I'm still kind of looking around, but it's tough to find, like, especially one who's okay, I want to play the Canadian tour. It's tough to find someone who's going to cut you a check for $30,000 so you can be comfortable for the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's, especially when you have, I mean, if you're doing Q school for that and stuff, you almost have no credibility about your school. And some people don't really care about that or know enough about it.
Yeah. And it's all like, there's so many players too, right? Like, when we were talking with Zach, still, like, and you and I talking the other day, just about like how many players even at the Corn Ferry Tours, like, qualifiers, right? So, like, you're going in with hundreds and hundreds of players, and it's kind of, you know, I think there is in total 21 spots or something by the end of the year that are left, right? Or 26 maybe, but maybe that's, that might have, I think there were 26 PGA Tour cards this year, and there might have been less Corn Ferry Tour cards, which is tough, man. That's tough when you're going with that many guys to kind of break that down, right? Yeah, so.
Those guys are so good. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the players are just awesome, but go ahead, Bryce.
I want to get into the what's in the bag. I think it's time.
Yeah.
Well, what do we got? What are we working with here? I mean, are you a big gear guy, or you know what you're playing? Or, I mean, obviously, like, heads and stuff.
No, yeah.
Do you get into the shafts and stuff too, or no?
Yeah, I know what I've had the same bag for a long time. I just got new irons in January, actually. That's the newest thing. But
let's save the best for last, though. Let's save that piece for last.
I believe you're fine.
Yeah. I assume it's like a 2 iron or a 5 wood or something. I guarantee that's what it is.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So the Chief, I've had the same shaft for a while. I got a GP7X, the Tour AD ones.
The orange one?
No, it's the light blue one.
Okay, yeah.
It's good. I think I actually looked it up the other day because I forgot. I think it's like 86X. It's perfect. Like, you can just laugh at it.
Yeah, it's heavy.
I cracked my sim in February, so they sent me a sim too. I really want to get rid of that. That thing spins a lot. I had the Stealth for Stage 2. Golftown around here lent me one.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing is so good.
We both have it.
It's so good. I'm gonna buy it probably within the next couple of weeks. You kind of have to. But 3 wood. This is where I'm not sure. My head pro just gave it to, it's either a TSI 2 or 3, the head.
Okay.
Got an old vintage Pro Force V2 in there.
Oh, I got that in my hybrid.
That's so good.
I like mine too.
X96 with 1.6 torque. That's great.
Dude, you're using some heavy shafts.
Damn. It's just, I got a quick backswing. I find that helps. Okay. I've tried the light driver shafts, and like, I just get the corner. I, oh, I get the quacks with them. They're going right every time.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I got to skip over that one. So
it's the 5-wood, Bryce, you nailed it. It was a 5-wood. You nailed
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'll go back to that.
Not many people have unicorn like wedges or like
no. I, you know, no, wedges are just vocal. My wedges are actually 5 years old. I got to get some.
Oh, wow. What do the wear marks look on those things?
They're getting their SM7s, I think. I got the same. I got KBS X130s in the irons and wedges. But the irons I just got. I've had Mizuno for a long time, but I just got the JPX, I think the 921 Tours, they're called.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're good. When I was getting fit for those, it was only the 7-iron. And like I was only hitting 7-irons for every set. And those Mizunos, like I kind of wanted to stick with them to begin with, but I was hitting them the best. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's get it. The set comes in, open it up. I pulled out the 4 and 5 iron first. I'm like, these are game improvement. Like they're this thick. Like they're the 7 iron's pretty much a blade. Like it's a muscle mat, whatever. And the 4 and 5 iron, like thick game improvement irons. I'm like, oh my God, like what did I just order? Take them on the range. Never going back. Like it's
yeah, they're good, eh?
I don't care. I don't care what people say when they like. They're not that thick. They're not a blade. They're not a muscle back, but they're just reinforced a little bit. But they help so much. I mean, you get that 4-iron off the tee like 240, 235 with that mm-hmm. thing. But sometimes you get like there's a big difference between the 5 and 6 iron, like where it goes from muscle to that thick back. Like you get some jumpy 5 irons that go 215 and I can barely get a 6 iron 195. So
yeah, I've got like the Strix on like the ZU, like the utility 6.5 is like my
those are actually they're nice.
That thing's like that's like my little unicorn. That thing's got to be like 8 years old, man. But like it's, I don't know, I was playing the U500 for like 5 rounds and then that thing went back in the bag. It was like it's too hard to get rid of it. I love it.
I got the Gapper, but it's not in the bag right now.
No, it's not the same. Bryce also hits a 4-iron. I remember I tried to walk him off the tee because we're playing at Port Hope. It's like into the sorry, we'll get back to the bag, but like
yeah, I apologize about that this moment, but I was kind of a dick about it, but I was just not.
No, it was actually pretty funny because like the bunker's like I don't know. 220, 230 carry.
Money game, by the way, too.
Money game. Yeah. There's a bit of wind. So like I see him with an iron. I don't know what he has in his hand. Don't get me wrong, I know how far Bryce hits, right? So I he's kind of like setting up or whatever, and I was like, Bryce, you're like I know I had a long iron. So I was like, that bunker that kind of carries like the whole left side or two-thirds of the left side is like that's like right in your kind of carry zone or whatever. And there's
and he jumped in right as I was about to take the club
away. Yeah, because I was like I know the course like perfectly, right? So I don't want him to be in a position where he's like, what the hell? I just kind of hit it in the bunker or whatever. So his landing pad, it's like 8 yards wide on the right hand side. So he was just like, yeah, whatever, Macker or something like that. And yeah, I think you actually carried like the right hand side of the bunker, found that 8 yard landing pad, and probably hit it like, I don't know, 245 or something.
Yeah,
like
I backed off and you continued talking. I stepped up, you continued talking, and I swung as you were saying something. I don't know what you're saying.
I'm always going to talk during a swing.
It was a bit of a cocky asshole, yeah. Excuse my French move, but I was not happy you backed me off in the first place.
But Bryce had also in the first 4 holes had made like 90 feet worth of putts, and I've never seen him make 90 feet worth of putts in 18 holes. So
yes,
I was trying to get any mental advantage that I could, but sorry, back into it. So I think we hadn't got to the putter yet.
No, yeah, putter.
I just, and then I don't even know what year it is. It's Zach Mason's.
Oh, you have the spider. Yeah, you said that earlier.
Backup spider. It's like one of the red. Original one, maybe from like
four or like five, the original Spider Tour.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, those are pretty popular. Like, I know, is it the one that does it have like all the paint chipping on it?
It does have a bunch of paint chipping on it. Yeah,
yeah. I can't remember what year. I can't remember what year, but like those, like people love them though. Like it's
There's no line on top either.
I was going to ask you that.
It's got a lot of issues with like the paint. I don't remember what it was, but I remember people being like, it sucks because the paint's like chipping, but like they love the putter.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah. I used a
ping. DJ still rolls it, I think.
I think he rolls the GT now, like the newest one. But he did use that black one forever.
Yeah, he had it all blacked out, but it was it's a pretty popular putter though. But what was the ping that you were rolling before?
It was just, I might have it. Oh, it's probably in my car actually. It's just a ping answer, like my dad's old putter. It is vintage. The bronze head on it. I just had about 45,000 pieces of lead tape on it just like a steel head. But I love that. Like, I love that thing. I used it for so long, and then you just get some absolute demons, and those things did not go away with the ping. So the spider was back in the bag.
Yeah, I have like an old ping pal. Or ping zing. I grabbed it in my hand here. I used to roll it like a little bit, I used to I always rolled the Odyssey number 9. So I've mentioned that a bunch of times on the pod, and JR actually mentioned to me, because I always say, if you're watching over on YouTube, so this is your opportunity if you're watching or listening in the car or on Spotify or Apple, go over and watch on YouTube, because we're supposed to tell people that. But look at this grip. This thing is like the original Ping Man. Like, it's so old. And this is old. I got my microphone on it. But I just love like the bottom just being like straight flat. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's so clean. And this thing is old, man. It's like so old, but it's, I don't know. It's a gamer if you ever get in a pinch. If I know I'll never go back to it, but it's cool to kind of keep them and think about
that's it. Right, that's where I'm at now with that ping. It's nice to have, but I'm never going back to it.
Yeah. Too much out there. Like, I know I've gone to like heel hosel putters ever since that when I was a kid. And then like, it's hard, man. That like that visual line is good for me. That like Delmar look is kind of always going to be something that I roll. So did pick up the tool on Atlanta, and that thing was sweet. Like, so nice.
Those tool on, they're sweet.
Really
they're
good. Nice. Except Bryce, with you? You and I, Bryce, were playing it was my friend Kirk. So he does in Zapata as well. So he actually has my backup gamer now, my other Delmar. So Bryce, I let that thing go. I don't know if you ever thought I would.
I know, you told me.
Yeah, so I did let it go. But I used that tool on, and I like putted on the first hole. I had like a 15-foot putt, and I left it 8 feet short or something with that. No warm-up putts or anything. I hadn't rolled a single putt with that thing ever, and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to have to work on that in the offseason. But yeah.
I need the mallet. I'm too shaky in the backswing. I need the technology.
What is... the unicorn?
We're here.
I don't know the exact year. I think it's 2008. It's one of the nice Nike Sasquatches.
I didn't know it was gonna be like that, but I knew it was something really old. Like, just
you gotta keep the head exposed.
Is it got that really loud tink when you hit the ball?
Yeah, it's high pitched.
Yeah. But
this summer, actually, I mean, it was just a stiff, don't even know what kind of shaft it was. It just was, it said Sasquatch and stiff. And I had shaft on it forever. This summer, the head flew off just mid swing, like snap flew off. I picked up another Pro Force, like the closest thing I could find to steel, because they don't even make those shafts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. But, just one of those like very stiff V2s. Threw it in there. My dad threw it in here in the basement. Had some epoxy laying around, and like second shot on the range the next day. The head's halfway down the range again. We need like that epoxy is 14 years old. We got to get something. But he got it on there. It works now. It's not quite the same. Like it's a lot lighter, but it's still a fairway finder. It doesn't go very far. I mean, catch it as best as possible. It's probably carrying 240, 245.
It's not the square headed one, is it?
No, I did have that though as a junior. I had that for a bit.
That's the one with the big loud ting on it.
Dang,
that one is loud.
Everybody knew when the Sasquatch was coming out. Or was that the Sumo? That might have been called the Sumo, right?
The Sumo. Oh, I had the Cobra L5V. That was the loudest thing. Like you're teeing up a barrel. That was crazy.
Man, that's good, Bryce. I'm thinking about it. You think I get this back in the bag here?
Oh, the old R7?
Holy, look at that thing. That is like, if Custom Clubs, if Chris is watching this, he will tell me to get that thing back in bag. It's just a paper right on the desk right now.
So. I have an R, I got an R9 over there.
Yeah, R9 is a sweet
R9 driver. Yeah.
Coming back, man, all these guys playing half sets and stuff, I've done a little bit, and you know, finding clubs like this so you can just hit the fairway when you need to. And yeah, I don't have a five wood right now. I don't have a five wood. Maybe I gotta get that back in, but I'll never take out the 3 iron, and I don't know, I can't make it work. But
I don't know, my Stealth Hybrid is the best thing I've ever bought. I've never hit a hybrid in my life. Bought a Stealth Hybrid with a V4 Pro Force, and it's
That thing is pretty sweet. It is pretty good.
I just can't control it. I friggin' like, I'll try to hit it 240 and I'll go 260. Like, I just can't.
Well, we had
so
like,
hard. They're so hot.
Rocket launcher, man.
We had one, I can't remember what hole it was, Bryce, but you had like, I think it was 240 or something like that, and you flew it like 40 yards past. It was like, I can't remember what hole it was, but it was a little downwind maybe, but it was just like, I'm thinking to myself, like,
what hole was that?
You know the one I'm talking about, though, and it just like, yeah, it was just gone, right? Like, it was just absolutely gone. But probably should have done this earlier, but we're in conversation with Ty Salone, pro golfer in Canada here. 2-time Strixon, Cleveland Golf, All-American Scholar 2019-20, 2021, first team All-Mac. So what division is that, Ty? And it's not the Mid-Atlantic, sorry.
Mid-American.
Okay, thank you. So Mid-American honoree in 2018, 2019, 2020, 21, 22. Hopefully I got that right. Twice named Mid-American Conference Golfer of the Week, February 2nd and April 1st. Doesn't give me a year there, but I assume that's pretty recent. So,
I think that was this year.
Was it last year? Yeah. Nice. Okay. So, just before we kind of wrap things up, Ty, can we grab a couple socials and stuff? If anybody, I know you're kind of taking November off, and then you'll probably be plugging it back in the new year. If anybody wants to follow your career, can we grab any socials? We can send some people over there and check it out.
Yeah, I think it's just my name. I don't think there's anything special.
As usual, we pop this question on people all the time. As usual, if you're listening in the car or whatever it is when you stop, I'm going to link it down below so you can just go over and check it out.
You want me to email it to you? I'll email it to you after.
It is just Ty Salone, so T-Y-C-E-L-O-N-E. That's on Instagram anyway, so that's probably the one that I'll pop in there. And you got to go check it out because I'm sure I haven't looked, but there's got to be we need a what's in the bag photo, maybe, Ty, and like leave that thing exposed or the back of the car or when you're walking with that thing. So you said there was no head cover going on that, right?
No, absolutely not.
So you just like, I don't know if that's a pure intimidation factor, like if you walk up to the, you know, first tee with that thing exposed, or if that's like, if somebody thinks that, I don't know, but it's sort of like, this reminds me of that moment, Bryce, when we were saying with Callum Davison, I don't know if you played with him, and he's a cross-handed player. So he was like the PGA Tour Canada Player of the Year. And when he was down at the Palms, we were saying like, you could just walk up to the range playing cross-handed, like rip a few off the hosel, and then like, Bryce had one of our best clips say, hey buddy, I'll play you a cross-handed today or whatever, right? So
it's, you go in 40 bucks.
Yeah, you could just walk out with that thing and just be like, you know, this is my set, like and just shoot a 63 or something like that, make a few bucks. But I don't know, cats get out of the bag now. Sorry, Ty, we ruined it for you, but I like hearing those old clubs, man. That's really cool. I hope that thing stays in for a while.
It will, until the head flies off again.
Or until, hey, if you're a brand listening to the pod and you want to send Ty some clubs, then maybe we'll get rid of that five wood at that time. But that's what we're here for. And hopefully if any of those big brands are here listening, Ty is available. He's looking for a sponsor. So give him a chat and get that Nike out of there. Maybe Nike will start making some new clubs again. Who knows?
I don't know. I love that Squatch. I don't know if I can replace that one.
Send them some demos and we'll see what we can do. Yeah. But no, this was great, Ty. Really appreciate you taking the time, and I know you're taking a little bit of time off, so maybe we'll catch up with you again kind of mid-season or something like that when you figure out what's going on in 2023. Man, best of luck to you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah, and if you're out this way, let's tee it up, come through Port Hope, and Bryce will bring his brother, and Blaker's a stick, and maybe we'll get a match. Maybe we'll get a match going. Ty and I,
we'll a couple lefties. Yeah. We'll get a game going. I'll get another lefty from school.
I like it. I like it, Bryce. You'll get stuck with, maybe you'll get stuck with me, but we'll need some strokes. I don't know. We'll have to work out something, but I like it. All right. Let's go watch the rest of the Leaf game. I'm sure they're probably in the third period here. So
yeah, they're down 0-2 right now. It's not looking good.
All right. And oh, I did see that it was plus 425 right now. bet 365. So that was, I threw a few bucks down on it. So just had to. Like when you see it that high, you gotta take a little something on that, right? So
you have to.
Sorry, Leaf fans, but I will go over to Instagram right now and I'll post a screenshot because nobody's gonna believe me when this comes out on Thursday or Friday. So but yeah, man, all the best. Really appreciate it. And we'll definitely have to have you back. If any of the boys that you went to school with, this is pretty much an Eastern Michigan University pod now. So if any of the boys want to come on, send them our way, tell them to come on and have a chat with us. And we'll tell their story as well. Thank you so much, Ty. This was great, man.
Hey, thank you guys. That was fun.
He's out in my ball and of course where I tee up. I lose a ball and I re-up. I miss a fairway, I probably end up in the ocean or maybe the beach. And I'm on a par 5 and I'm finna go reach it. Second was blind, I ain't see it. Feel like it might be an albatross, worst case scenario.